Okay, we are ready to go. You know, I'm pushing it just a little bit. I hope I'm not going to be beat up or spanked by this, but our next presentation is a good one. It's entitled Climate Resilient Soil Fertility Management Strategy for Rice Production in Submergence Prone Areas in Northern Ghana by Sampson. So I'll turn the time over to Dr. Sampson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you all for coming. I'm going to talk to you about some activity we are doing in Ghana in some submergence-prone areas for rice production. Give you a little background and justification why we are doing that work, and also what our hypotheses and objectives are, then our materials and methods, results and discussion, and then mostly conclusions. Rice production is actually a big deal in Asia. In Africa, it wasn't that big an industry. But since 1981, when we had a lot of food crisis in Africa, rice has become a staple crop in Africa. If you look at Asia, most of the rice production is under irrigation. But in Africa, about 90% of the rice are under rainfield conditions. And it is estimated that submergence costs more than 16, affect more than 16 million hectares of rice production worldwide. Of all the cereals, rice is the only crop that is able to withstand complete submergence. But then, the rice is the only crop that are able to produce under aquatic conditions. But complete submergence actually hinder or affects rice production in several ways, depending upon when the submergence occurs or how long it stays. And even the depth of the submergence affects rice production under rainfed conditions. And it is estimated that globally, about $600 million worth of rice is lost due to submergence occurring in these areas. There are two types of submergence we are looking at. The flash flooding, which normally occurs about 1 week, 2 weeks, and it's done. And that is not predictable. It comes within the life cycle of the plant. It can come at the beginning, in the middle, or even at the tillering and the booting stage. So that one comes about 2 weeks, it's gone. And then there are others that also are there over 100 centimeters deep, and it stays for a long time. Most of the flooding that occurs in most parts of northern Ghana, where our research is located, is the flash flooding one, which comes during the life cycle of the plant, and then within 2 weeks, the flooding has receded. There are several activities that is going on. Actually, there are local varieties of rice that are able to adapt to submergence. The problem with this is that they are very low yielding. The submergence causes very little tillering and affects the yield drastically. The improved varieties that are also high yielding cannot withstand the submergence. Like this one, these are high yielding rice varieties, but when the submergence come, they all die or disappear somehow. So breeding is looking at how to integrate the submergence quality and also the high yielding quality. So we have some varieties in the system that are able to withstand the submergence and also, withstand is a good word. I was going to change the word. So they are able to withstand the submergence, and also they also have high yielding. The problem we have is when this is the rice field which has just gone through submergence and the water has receded. The one, they look like this. But due to the stress that it goes through, there are a lot of damages that occur, but visually it's not seen. And the high light intensity after the submergence and also increased nitrogen concentration, just one day after submergence, you see all the rice looking like this. And it takes them some time to recover. The nitrogen application strategy for rice production in northern Ghana, and actually in most parts of Africa, is that you apply a basal nitrogen NPK fertilizer, and then 6 weeks after transplanting or after seeding, you apply an additional nitrogen fertilizer. So if you have the rice like this, which have just after receding of the water, it has changed into this, it will take some time for it to recover, to be able to make use of the nitrogen in the soil. So this is the problem we have. We are looking at if this is, and if you apply the supplemental nitrogen at this stage, it takes the rice some time for it to take the nitrogen up and make use of. So what about if we are able to make the plant or give all the plant the nutrient it needs without losing through leaching, and the plant is able to take it up, then it is most likely that during this stage, the period of recovery will be shortened. So there is one technology which we are promoting in Africa, which we are calling the urea displacement technology. This is just trying to marry the good genotype, which is high yielding, to good nitrogen management strategies. So if we apply this urea into the immediately after submergence or immediately before submergence, we will lose everything because this dissolves very quickly and very fast. But when we are able to briquette this into large sizes, we decrease the surface area. So the level of dissolution is reduced. And again, this technology requires that we apply the nitrogen close to the root zone of the plant and also 7 to 10 days after transplanting. So the rice plant has something to rely on before the submergence occurs. We have used this material in irrigated rice fields across Africa. And in all, this is a sample of what we have done in Africa. We have the rice yield as of for countries we have worked with. The dark colors represent the UDP technology, and the green one is the granular urea that is applied. And we have the dark green, which is just the difference. And in all countries that we have applied this technology in irrigated rice, we see that wherever we apply the urea briquettes, we have higher yields than where we apply the granular urea. I must also point out that the way the briquette has been formulated, if you apply the briquettes, you reduce it's one briquette feed four plants. So if you apply that briquette, you use 15% less nitrogen than the normal recommended nitrogen applications in the field. So that you are seeing increases, despite the reduction in the amount, quantity of nitrogen applied, the briquette still out yields areas where we apply the granular fertilizers. So based on that, we hypothesize that the UDP technology can also help to increase productivity in submergent tolerance varieties. So the main objective of this study was to evaluate the effectiveness of the urea deep placement technology in rice production under submergence prone areas using rice submergence tolerance varieties. This activity was done in 7 different locations in northern Ghana, in farmers' field. So we sight them in the farmer's field, and the farmers take care of them under our supervision. So four of them were in the northern region of Ghana, three in Upper East, and then two in Upper West. We tried two main submergence tolerant varieties, which have been developed by African rice. We have the Nerica L19, and we have the Nerica L49. These were the submergence tolerant varieties which were developed by African rice. And then we tried fertilizer technologies, the local recommended practice that has been recommended by the extension services, the urea deep placement technology, and then we have also the microdosing technology, which is a technology which has been developed and upskilled by IFRISAT. We use a split plot design, the main plot being the rice varieties and the subplots being the fertilizer technology. And as I mentioned before, for all the treatments, we have the basal NPK applications. For the UDP technology, we applied the urea briquette 7 days after transplanting. And for the local recommended practice and the microdosing practice, we applied the fertilizer 6 weeks after planting. But the problem is, it depended on when the submergence occurred. If the submergence occurred by the 6 weeks, we have to wait till the water recedes before we go in and apply. And as I showed you earlier on, by the time the water recedes, it takes the plants a week or so to recover from the shock. So that was the problem that we had with these two technologies. We had four applications per treatment, and at the end we measured nitrogen uptake at NTGs, we measured grain yield, harvest and calculated harvest index, and also fertilizer recovery. This is how we lay the plots. Each plot is separated by a berm so that we don't have crossover. And some of the plots are nicely done also. We have the varieties and then, but in all we have berms that actually separate one plot from the other. All right, these are some of the yields we have. For grain yield, what this is, in fact, we did not have any significant variation among locations. So we took the average, so this represents the average of the 7 locations. And on the average for the Nerica and L19, we have about, if you compare, the blue bar represents the UDP, the red represents the microdosing, and then the green represents the local recommended practice. If you look at the Nerica L19, you have about 70% increase in grain yield when you move from the local practice to UDP. And even with microdosing, the UDP technology still produces a greater yield. And similar can happen with the other variety. Harvest index was also the same. We have greater grains compared to the whole biomass coming from the UDP technology. Agronomic effectiveness was also, if you look at the kilogram of grain that we got from a kilogram of fertilizer products used, we had greater yield per kilogram of nitrogen used from the UDP technology compared to the local practice and also for the microdosing. Elemental recoveries, we have more nitrogen, and interestingly, we have a very good correlation between N, P, and K. When we have more N being taken up, eventually you have more P and K also taken up, and it cuts across all the treatments. And we still, we have the UDP getting more nitrogen from the applied fertilizer compared to the two practices. Actually, the local recommended variety, the praxis, was the worst of all the treatments we evaluated. So this is a first year study. The preliminary study actually suggests that we could actually use this technology combined with the improved technologies for submergence prone areas to increase rice production, taking into consideration that majority of the rice production in sub-Saharan Africa is under rainfall conditions. So with this technology and also with the help of the plant breeders, we can increase rice production in submergence prone area. And like I said, this is the first year of the results. We are still, the trial is still going on this year, and then look at the results to validate whether it's the same or it was just an isolated case. All right, thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Yeah, very impressive.